Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng has been ordered by the Judicial Conduct Committee to apologize for and retract political comments he made about Israel and Palestine during a webinar in June last year. The JCC found the Chief Justice guilty, ordered him to apologize unconditionally for becoming involved in political controversy through his utterances in the online seminar, which was hosted by the Jerusalem Post on the 23rd of June last year. The committee further ordered the Chief Justice to unreservedly retract and withdraw a statement after a statement he uttered after a public outcry over his initial comments. That statement is that he stands by his comments and will not apologize or retract them. Quote, even if 50 million people were to march every day for 10 years for me to do so, I would not apologize. If I perish, I perish. Unquote. Okay, Ben Winks is an independent advocate based in Johannesburg. What a thing, Ben. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, John.
This is truly unprecedented, I think.
Yes, there's never been a finding of the Judicial Conduct Committee against a member of the Constitutional Court, and certainly not a Chief Justice.
So the significance of it is huge.
Yes, not just in the the stature of the person affected, but in some of the parameters it sets for extrajudicial conduct of judges going forward. It sets some boundaries of their freedom to comment on political controversies. And also, interestingly, what the committee found was that by participating in the webinar, regardless of what he might have said, by participating in this webinar under the title of Chief Justice, he was using or lending the prestige of his office for private interests, to advance private interests. Which also has some implications for other judges in the kinds of engagements that they might accept that have reference to their official capacity.
All of the media reporting that I have seen say is being sanctioned for his pro-Israel comments. Is that the case, or is he being sanctioned because he made political comments? If the seminar had been organized by an NGO operating in the Gaza Strip or in the West Bank, and he'd offered comments which were critical of Israel and supportive of the Palestinian cause, the complaints would have been different. They would have come from different organizations than the organizations from which they came in this case. But do you think the result would have been the same?
In principle, yes, that it would have been involving himself in political controversy. One of the reasons why the committee felt that, how it defined political controversy was that certain things like foreign policy are left to the executive. And you can't comment on, the policies adopted by the executive in any sort of disparaging manner. As a member of the judiciary, and specifically or especially as the head of the judiciary, because that breaches the separation of powers. So engaging in any kind of political controversy would have been wrong. What was aggravating in this case was that he not only contradicted the government's foreign policy stance, but potentially embarrassed the South African government, because the very next day it was addressing the UN Security Council on what should be done about the imminent annexation of additional territories in the occupied Palestinian territory. So it was found that by making statements that contradicted the South African government's foreign policy, that also caused potential embarrassment. So that's the only extent to which the contents of what he said was aggravating. But in principle, whether he'd been pro or anti, or whether it was any other political issue or foreign policy issue, it still would have been a breach of the code.
Okay, I was about to say that the South African government needs no help in embarrassing itself, but anyway. Let me try and understand this in broader terms. So a judge could stand up on a public platform and say Donald Trump is a disgrace for refusing to accept the verdict of the American people in last November's election. That would be fine, but if a judge of the Constitutional Court or any other division of our judiciary stood up on a platform and took South Africa to task for voting in a particular way at the United Nations on an issue which seemed to contradict South Africa's general human rights stance, but in practice put South Africa in the company of human rights offenders, which unfortunately many of South Africa's votes at the United Nations do. Would that be akin to the Mogoeng sin then?
Yes, so it's akin to the idea of staying in your lane as a member of as a responsible member of one branch of government, that you have to exercise restraint in, you know, disparaging or criticizing the other branches of government because of the separation of powers issue. And Judge Mojapela makes the comparison that you can't have members of government may, the executive may disagree with a judgment, their remedy against that is to appeal. But they mustn't, once they've exhausted their appeals, they have to accept the legitimacy and the correctness of the judgment. So you can't say as a judge that what the executive is doing is wrong on a matter of foreign policy. That's the import of the reasoning.
And then the apology. I mean, the Judicial Conduct Committee has gone as far as writing the apology for the Chief Justice. You know, you don't even have to trouble yourself with coming up with the words because here they are. Publish them in your name. But given his remarks when there was that initial public and NGO outcry about what he said in the webinar, that which I quoted earlier, even if 50 million people were to march every day for 10 years for me to do so, I would not apologize. If I perish, I perish. It doesn't give one a lot of hope that he's going to meekly accept the verdict of the Conduct Committee.
Yeah, and that's interestingly the one of the reasons why the Judicial Conduct Committee finds against him is that he's not only defying, you know, the public outcry, but he made that statement in his official response to the complaint as well under oath. So the Conduct Committee took that as saying that he won't abide by an order to apologize. If the committee finds that he did engage in political controversy, he's saying, I still won't apologize, even if you find against me. And they said, that's unacceptable. You have to accept the statutory authority of the Judicial Conduct Committee. And as a judge, you accept the office of judge and you take your oath of office. It means you accept that the Judicial Conduct Committee is entitled to tell you that you've crossed a line and that you must apologize for it. That's what the Judicial Services Act says and what the Judicial Code of Ethics says. So that's what the committee said, is that it's completely unacceptable to say that you won't apologize when the Judicial Conduct Committee has the power to order you to apologize. And that's the statement that he's ordered then to retract.
And then, Ben, what many people are coming up with is how quickly the Judicial Conduct Committee has acted in this case versus how slowly it has not yet acted in various cases involving the Western Cape Judge President John Schlope. Just today on News 24, Karen Morn, their legal reporter, has a story how the Western Cape Judge President has faced 10 major scandals without any sanction, going back to the New Clicks judgment of 2004. And advocate Nicole Fritz of Freedom Under Law has an op-ed piece in the Business Day, the JSC is lost in Klopper's labyrinth. Is it legitimate to say, if you can act so quickly against the judge president, you know, the chief justice, not the judge president, the chief justice, why has it taken you, if you accept Karen's description of the New Clicks judgment as a major controversy, why has it taken you 7 years not to act against John Klopper?
Yeah, well, the reasons are really, I don't think there's any, you know, particular agenda that's hamstringing them in one case and not in the other. Really what, in my view, it comes down to is practical consideration. The first of which is that in the Chief Justice's case, there was no dispute of fact. There was a transcript of what he said. The question was one of law, whether it constituted engaging in a political controversy. and then questions of aggravation and mitigation. So they were all questions of law, which meant that no witnesses had to be called or cross-examined. Everything could be done on the papers, and that's why it was possible to do it within 9 months. Whereas in Justice Flores' cases, there are disputes of fact, quite intense disputes of fact, which required cross-examination, which we saw fairly recently in the Judicial Conduct Tribunal. The other reason, the other practical reason why they're different, is that when an alleged offence is not an impeachable offence, so it's still gross misconduct, it's serious, but it's not impeachable, then it goes to a single member of the committee, as in this case, Justice Mojapelo in Mogweng's complaint. But if it's an impeachable offence, such as the allegations against Justice Klope, then it has to be referred to a conduct tribunal, which is a much more lengthy process. And there are more opportunities for procedural objections, which can be taken to court and then taken on review, which is what's happened in Justice Klope's cases.
Ben Winks, thank you very, very much for those lovely, clear explanations. An independent advocate based in Johannesburg. If ever I get into trouble, Ben, and I've got lots of money, well, then you're the one I will come to. Well, I'll ask my attorney to bring you in.